This interview is brought to you by Fed Group. Paul Kernahan and I go back a long way. Paul, good to see you, man. Last time that we met was in your offices in Johannesburg, and it you gave me some insights into Fed Group. You and the top team were there. And it really is an organization that one warms to. You're innovative. You do things differently. You are kind of long-term thinking. You've been around since 1990. And I guess, having said all of that, you're also looking at the future or looking at South Africa with a certain amount of excitement, as most people are, but also trepidation in that, is this new government of national unity just going to be another Ramaphosa shooting star? So I guess that's something to explore with you. You've got many clients that would be asking you supposedly similar questions.
Absolutely. And Alec, it's great to be with you this morning, and thanks for the opportunity. Absolutely. I think when you were with us at our offices here in Sandton, we were sharing a bit of the vision we have for the future, and also just also sharing a bit about the detail as to our thought processes back in the day as to what sort of informed our decisions, you know, where we are, where we stand today. And, you know, as a specialist financial services company, you know, we really had to hone our skills into certain asset classes and certain sectors where we believe these carve out more stability going forward for South African investors. And that's really our focus area. And, you know, we're proudly South African business, and we believe heavily in South Africa. So we, you know, we're sitting back, and we really are enjoying what we're seeing at the moment now in South Africa. We're very proud of what the country is achieving. But we're also realists, and, you know, we're keeping our eyes and ears open as to what potential pitfalls there might be and how we can, as a business, react to those and you know, further provide certainty and stability for an uncertain future. But a future that certainly, I think you would agree, looks a little bit more positive than it did beginning of this year.
A little bit.
A lot.
No, Paul, I disagree. A heck of a lot more positive. And yeah. we do see the you know, it's been so interesting to me that Franz Cronje and others from their research have said, but South Africans are conservative. Yes, you get these crazy guys on the fringes who try to make trouble for the rest of us, but actually as a nation, all we want is to have a better future for our children, get rid of this bloody corruption, and move forward in that way. And maybe at last this is happening. Do you see it that way?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just thinking about it, and you're right, I probably under amplified the difference. It really has been a tale of two halves this year, hasn't it? It's almost like my golf game. I go out and play a decent first nine, and somehow over a Sami and an Energade, the golf game, you know, dissipates in the second nine. But in relation to ourselves, the first nine was tough. It really was. And actually leading up to that, we had a whole bunch of things go wrong. But yes, absolutely. We're in a bit of a purple patch at the moment now. You know, that is driven by a lot of good things happening all at once. And, you know, I like to say as well, we are fully plugged in as a country into the global economy. So often, you know, what we are achieving, you know, when things are going well like they are now, with positive signs, green shoots, we sort of 50% is our efforts. You know, it's got to do with, you know, the luck that we create. And then 50% we are plugged into the global economy, you know, and that's an important point I wanted to make, is the fact that, you know, we need to do what we can do to influence the future that we have, because, you know, sometimes we are not totally in control of the global economies and the global marketplace that will have an effect on us, you know, with all the you know, the eventful stuff coming up now, like US elections, et cetera, et cetera.
It's a very good point. And often we do get buffeted by the waves, almost like South Africa's just a cork on the ocean. The government of national unity, though, is a almost a miraculous development given what could have happened as an alternative. But surely it's not the silver bullet.
Absolutely. It's not the silver bullet. And I think what we're seeing at the moment now is a lot of that new family that's being created play out. and we're seeing the new dynamics. I mean, it's almost that, you know, that analogy of a modern family. This is our new modern family as South Africans, and it's not going to be without its challenges and feeling each other out. And, you know, how much can I push you? How much, you know, how can you push me? But I think the important thing is, for the first time in a long time, there's been this, and let's put aside the disruptors. I mean, let's not, you know, let's put aside that now. The majority of South Africans politically, you know, we went to the polls earlier this year, we voted, the result was fantastic, and we are pulling together in a way that really is brilliant. And I think what's happening as well is global communities are seeing it as well, which is a big, which is massive at the moment now. Because that's been a bit of a tough ride at the moment now. I think, you know, global foreign direct investment is at its all time low at the moment now. But that is, if you're actually on the street and you know, as we are seeing the transactions happening on the ground, there is so much foreign interest in South Africa. You know, they understand the squabbles we're having, and they've sort of almost seen this movie before. But the moment sort of things like grey status actually, and we'll talk about that around that unwinding and we exiting grey status, etc. You know, and GNU actually works, and we have continued energy sort of safety. You know, we're over 200 days now with stable energy. The actual money that's being committed will start flowing, and that's incredible for our country. You know, stability wise. So the GNU has definitely created the platform and the family in which South Africans and the world can identify with as being good for the future for South Africa.
So you said that you're getting the sense that foreigners are interested. Is it going to take another 200 days of no load shedding and another 200 days of the GNU before they open their wallets?
I mean, maybe not. I think a big aspect of positivity. So there are a few sort of, you know, almost leading indicators, if you want to call it now. So, you know, when you talk about growth in the economy, so remember, if a foreign investor or any investor wants to invest in a country that is growing, that's the big thing. So the big thing is around growth. That is the major indicator. The uninterrupted electricity supply and GNU are really just leading indicators that give them clues that South Africa is in fact going to grow. And we talk about, you know, growing at 1.6%. On average over the next 3 years, you know, leading indicators like that. Yes, will we have continued energy? These are the things we're looking at. Will we have continued energy stability? Big plus. If there's any break in that, a little bit of a wobble. You know, will we? There's an interesting component of GDP. It's called fixed capital investment. So it's almost that it's GFCF. So it's a gross fixed capital formation. What that is if you think about spending, you as an individual, there's spending that we engage in that builds value, and there's spending that actually is consumed. So, you know, going to the restaurant on the weekend is consumption, but putting money into redeveloping your home is adding value. You know, that is a huge component. So this is one of the big indicators that we're watching as well, is around what percentage of our GDP is being reinvested in that value creating, that equity, that capital. And we actually see that actually needs to double. So if we're wanting to achieve growth as a country of 1.62%, we're needing to see at least 2.5 to 4% allocation to that value formation capital. So that's obviously creating that value. So as long as there's that fiscal discipline, there's energy security, the GNU's pulling together. And then the last component, these all sort of, as I said, leading indicators to investors putting their money and actually committing the rands and cents and the dollars. The last thing is grey status. And it's an important one. The expectation at this point, so we can go into a bit of detail, the expectation is that we'll be out somewhere between February and June next year when we are reassessed. The challenge we have now, Alec, and you'll take this, you'll understand this point, is because we have now on the second nine and we've got this purple patch, the expectation level that we all have for ourselves and investors have for South Africa, the bar has just gone up. So the problem now is that it's lifted. If we don't meet some of these expectations, unfortunately, the fall might be a bit harder, if you want to call it now. So that's why, you know, a year ago, our expectations were low. Our expectations are that much higher now. So it's you know, and if we miss some of these critical exiting gray status in a way that we, you know, and we, it's really looking really good, then I think the global community will be hard on us. I think we'll forgive ourselves because we know what's going on, but I think the global community will be hard on us.
Oh, it sounds a lot like 2018, Ramaphoria, Cyril's big smile all over the front pages. We got terribly excited that we'd missed a bullet with Mr. Zuma, and then it kind of fizzled out. This time around, though, are you feeling like it's not going to fizzle out? Are you feeling like this time it's different?
I really do. I believe there's less talk and more tangible actions and more measurables that are within our control that can then that we can then use to be the masters of our destiny as a country now. So I really, really believe that now. I think we've got a better understanding of what we need to achieve. And yes, I think a lot of it, and you've mentioned it a few times, the GNU really has been a wonderful base for just creating that level of comfort around, okay, suddenly from a political landscape, there is a little bit more realignment and pulling together, so that then helps a lot of other elements come together. But you know, again, as I said, I think we are 50% masters of our destiny, and the rest of it is, you know, what's going to happen. You know, no one quite knows what's happening in the elections, and you know, it's very much a two-horse race. And is it good? Is it bad? Democrats, Republicans, Trump, Harris. You know, China. What's happening in China? That's been a big one. Now that all affects us. You've seen some recent weakening in the rand this week now. I mean, that's got nothing to do with what something we've done. It's got purely got to do with the fact that a strong China is great for South Africa because of our export market. Suddenly there's a little bit of lack and confidence in what's happening in China, and is that stimulus package enough? So that hurts us. So it's a wonderful privilege to be part of a global community, but we sometimes are, it's a big brush, and sometimes we catch the edges of it.
Thanks for saying that, Paul, because quite often when we produce geopolitical news, we've got our partners at The Economist and The Financial Times, and they really have their finger on the pulse and what's going on around the world. We don't see as much interest from South Africans as when you talk about politics locally, because that's like I referred to it the other day as a spectator sport. But we've got to keep our eye on what happens elsewhere in the world, because this is a very open economy.
It is. It's a superbly open economy. And, you know, again, as investors, I think there's been a huge, and quite rightly, from a balance, you know, I always say, you know, a truly investors, and you know, I'm sure you've got many very savvy investors, you know, listening today, and, you know, you've got a wonderful savvy, you know, listener base, but they'll appreciate the fact that you have to diversify your assets globally. But, you know, this year, Rand, you know, you would have done yourself a good service to be, you know, invested in Rand. You know, we've been a wonderfully strong currency this year for good reason. You know, and that's outside of the fact that we're in gray status. And that's why it's sort of, we have this ability to still, you know, really be a great performing economy and a great performing country for our investors now. But the important thing is to understand that diversity around making sure as an investor and citizen, you have a global mindset. You know, as we stand right now, we have a group of our executives offshore at the moment are looking at further opportunities, et cetera, you know, as we expand upon our skill set, because, you know, we've worked really hard to fully specialize and understand our domestic market for our investors. And now we're sort of confident enough to be looking at similar and aligned and parallel opportunities offshore. You've got to eventually do that, but you've got to do it eyes wide open and know what you're talking about and know the risks associated with being in a global economy.
Well, apart from everything else that you guys do, you're known as specialists in impact farming, probably the country's leader in that field. And also on the renewable side, you've been in the leadership role. Is that what you're looking at internationally? Are there impact farming opportunities elsewhere?
Yeah. So I mean, absolutely. So, and it's a funny story, I must tell you. I mean, I'll never forget when I started with her and I joined Fair Group, our head of impact farming, he invited me to do a farm visit, and I arrived there in my brogue work shoes and my suit, to which I've never lived this down, you know, as a true investment professional. So now I very happily run around in my fellies and my, you know, leave the jacket behind when we're on the farms. But it's, I mean, Alec, I suppose it's more, it's, you know, we pride ourselves in tangible impact assets. That's who we are. And we carve out stable returns. Stability is our name of the game. That's what we've been doing for over three decades. We have, how, as part of that, you know, we started and we cut our teeth in the in this property sector. We love things that are tangible. Impact farming and renewables was just a logical, tangible sector and product that we then applied our skill set to. So yes, quite right. And through doing that, we created our impact farming platform, which has been massively successful. And we know we genuinely see lower risk and, you know, in these alternative assets that are considered alternative. However, we found them to be incredibly predictable with, you know, decades worth of analysis and data and whatever it might be. And I think to answer that question is, yes, we are wanting to expand our really deep understanding and insight into global markets. And, you know, we've been called on to actually come and advise, you know, global partners, because I think, you know, I mean, obviously I'm an incredibly proud South African, and we can really show off as our agricultural, as our agri environment, that we really are world leaders in agriculture. So we're finding more and more we can then take out that technology and take out those learnings to global investors, you know, and get on the ground and show them how it's done. It's a wonderful part of this country. But that's maybe to amplify that. Why the tangibility and why those sectors? It's really because we have never missed a commitment to an investor in 34 years. That's just fact. That's the legacy we hold, and we never want to. And we think very deeply about what sector we're in and how we secure our clients' investment monies. So we've gone very deeply vertical into those sectors, and we understand those intimately. So, you know, there's not much about a farm and the plant and or a solar panel or a property ecosystem that we can't understand, get our heads around, remediate, consult on. So we really have a very, very strong understanding of those alternative assets. And, you know, Alec, the nice thing about those sectors is there's just so much room to still add value in South Africa, which is wonderful. You know, we certainly been far more focused on South Africa because we just see so much value. Yeah.
Especially in property as well, which of course is where you guys started. Paul, just to close off with, it's a good story, and I'm sure anybody listening to you and knowing where you're coming from will be saying, okay, it's time to invest. But before the foreigners invest, they're going to need the locals to invest. And it's well documented that South African companies have got 1.5 trillion rand in cash on their balance sheets.
Yes.
Are you seeing any of that starting to make its way into gross fixed capital formation, the points that you were raising earlier?
Yes, absolutely. So we really are seeing it now. And I think there are a few drivers around it. And it's quite an amazing statistic, Alec. And some of it, I think, has been driven and catalyzed by the grey status, is that, you know, foreign investment in listed SA equity has dropped since 1990. And it's from 40% down to 23%. So, you know, there's a massive, but a lot of that's got to do with the mandates of global funds, et cetera. But I think a lot of it's got to do with this concept of public-private partnership. You know, there's no secret that, you know, our public sector government coffers are empty. You know, there's not much more room to move. You know, that fiscal constraint is a real thing. So even more so, there's this call on these public-private partnerships. And, you know, a lot of people in the market think that these things haven't happened. There's an excess of 70 billion rands worth of successful, completed public-private partnerships that exist in South Africa to this date, in tourism, water and sanitation, infrastructure, you name it. There's been some incredible success stories. And you're seeing already now, because of that fact that you've got this base, you've got policies that support giving these private companies comfort, you're starting to see this investment from South African companies into our own very, very domestic economy, because there's this bridge saying, okay, if I'm going to take my skill and my money into these public partnerships now, I know that the policy supports it now. There's an agreement. There's a you know, that national development plan, you know, it required by 2030 to move up to 30% of GDP needs to be allocated to infrastructure projects. So we have to do it. It's a, you know, if you're a proudly South African company, it's more around whether you want to or not. Now you've got to do it. We've got to get stuck in, and we're seeing it happen as well, which is just fantastic. And it's not just lip service. You know, obviously we rub shoulders with the leaders of, you know, the leading private companies and in South Africa, and they are starting to really invest deeply, which is wonderful. And you know, there's no secrets. You know, the forward multiples and the PEs of our SA companies are sitting even lower than the average forward multiples of emerging markets. You're talking half of the multiples of the US. So there's nice thing about it is that we've got all these good things that we're talking about, but also there's all this upside. It's like a, you know, it's like a kid that's got all this potential, but, you know, hasn't quite reached the right level to play for the Springboks. You know, it's there. It's wonderful. And that's maybe a wonderful analogy. And maybe it's a bit of a well-used analogy, but if you look at our Springboks, you know, the process that Rusty took them through, you know, I think that's where our GNU is. But he got a bunch of highly diverse players, highly skilled players, and half the work he had to engage in was getting them to work together from massively varied backgrounds. It's almost where our GNU is now. We sort of, but look what can happen if you get it right. So I foresee that in the next few years, we're going to see as much success as the Brocks have had. And it sounds a bit loose and frivolous, but it's fact. This is where business is made. Business is made in getting on with each other, relationships, seeing eye to eye and trusting each other.
Paul Kernahan is the Chief Wealth Officer at Fed Group, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.